About the baptism of the Holy Spirit, John 13, 14, 15, and 16. I'd encourage you to go read those and study those. Jesus is talking to the apostles, and when he says, "I say unto you," he's speaking to the apostles. He's not speaking to us. Read those chapters, paying strict attention to who's speaking and who's being spoken to. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance," John the Baptist says, "but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So John the Baptist comes preaching, and he mentions this baptism of the Holy Ghost and this baptism of fire. And now nothing else is said in the Gospel of Matthew about that. Nothing is said about it in the Gospel of Mark until the Great Commission. Nothing is said about it in the Gospel of Luke. And nothing is said about this baptism of the Holy Spirit until you get to John 13 through 16, where Jesus teaches on it, as we studied a couple of weeks ago. So this is not a forefront doctrine that was taught in Bible times by Jesus, this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. And so we see that it is mentioned there. Now, nothing else is said about this baptism of the Holy Spirit until we get to Acts chapter 1. And turn with me now to Acts chapter 1. Now, you need to pay attention to Acts chapter 1 the same way you do to John 13, 14, 15, and 16. In understanding first who's speaking, number one, and who's being spoken to. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. "The former theses have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day that he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment." What commandment? The Great Commission we studied a couple of weeks ago. "Commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, the subject is the apostles. To whom? Who is whom? The apostles. To whom? The apostles. "Also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them," who's the them? The apostles, "being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them," who's them? The apostles. "Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they," who's they? The apostles, "that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'Ye have heard of me.' For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, nothing has been said from Matthew 3:11 to Acts 1, verse 5 about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus tells them that in a few days, in just a few days, the apostles, ye, the apostles, will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye, the apostles, shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, when you continue to study this chapter, and you get over now to the last verse of the chapter, verse 26. Now, what they have done is chosen an apostle. In fact, let's go back and look at this in verse 21. Now, one of the apostles, Judas, has gone and killed himself. And so Peter says that we're going to choose another apostle. Verse 20. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric," office is a better translation there, "his office let another take. Wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." Now, in these verses, we see the qualification to be an apostle. The qualification is that you had to be there and be an eyeball witness of John the Baptist's ministry, all of Jesus' ministry for the whole 3.5 years. You had to be there for the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You had to see Him raised from the dead, see Him in the flesh, and then those are the people who qualified to be an apostle. And so they put forth several people, and they two people, and so we'll go on reading from there. And they prayed, and they said, Lord, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen, that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship, from whom Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and their lots fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now we have an unnatural chapter break between the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. They all really go together. There's no such thing in the original manuscripts, the original Bible, as chapter and verses. This is something that men have done, separating chapter 1 from chapter 2, so that you can remember where things are. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, who's the they? Well, it's Acts chapter 1, verse 26 tells us, Matthias and the 11 apostles. So the apostles are all gathered together on Pentecost, and we've studied this. The Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Cloven tongues as of fire came down and held over each one of them, appeared over each one of them. There was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. The apostles preached this great gospel sermon. Notice verse 14. But Peter standing up with the 11, the 120 wasn't there, the 70 wasn't there. Nobody but the apostles were there for this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them. And so Peter preaches the gospel on the day of Pentecost. When we get to verse 37 in this chapter, now when he heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift, see that word gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now that word gift is doria in the Greek, and it's the same word that we get grace from. So it's like Peter saying that you'll receive the grace of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to study this next week, the Holy Spirit in the life of all Christians. But now today we're going to continue with this thought about these other two subjects, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. There were other people other than apostles who worked miracles in the New Testament. And we want to see about this and where this came from. So turn over now to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. You remember in Acts chapter 3, they've healed the man at the gate beautiful. They've preached great gospel sermon to the people. They've appeared now before the Sanhedrin court. Sanhedrin court's told them, don't you preach and teach in the name of Jesus. They beat them and turned them loose. Now we'll begin in verse 29. And so the apostles have come back to the church. They're right there in the church. Everybody's there now. Not just the apostles. They've come back and are assembled with the church. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, the Sanhedrin court. Behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they. Notice that word. Notice that word. They. Not we. Not us. But they, third person, somebody other than we and somebody other than us, what's he asking for? And now behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that all with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Now what has the apostles just done? They've asked God for something. They've been beaten because they did a miracle in healing a guy. And so they've come back and now they've prayed before the church and they've asked God. They said, God, they beat us and so turn everybody loose. doing miracles and wonders and signs. Turn more people loose. Do more miracles. Do more wonders and signs. They're not asking for the power to do it themselves. They're asking for the power for the church to do it. And I want you to pay strict attention to this. Now, the Holy Spirit is then poured out on the church that's gathered together there. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And so we see that God immediately answers their prayer, but we don't really know how yet. Only the apostles continue to work miracles. Nobody else is working miracles. We'd like to encourage our radio audience. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. Okay, now we're in Acts chapter, that was in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and following. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 6. So what happens? There's a problem that happens in the church. There's always problems. The more things get good, something's going to happen. Slewfoot's going to stir it up. Slewfoot's going to cause some trouble. So that's what he's done. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring. That's an awful word in the Bible, murmuring. Rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, daily ministration is feeding the poor, as an example. We do that. And so this was a racial thing. The Hebrews were one race. The Greeks, or the Gentiles, were another race of people. These people were really racist people. And so it would be like we had a church here, and the white folks was in charge of the food, and so all the black people wasn't getting anything. They were getting the head and the feet for them and their family, and then everybody else was getting the pork loin. And so it was a dirty, rotten deal that was going on, and so the apostles, it's tempting for them to get drug into it, but they have a better solution for that. In those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose murmurings of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration, the daily feeding. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples to them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men, honest and of a good report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." See, all Christians are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom if they're really Christians. That's all Christians are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Separate subject is the working of miracles. Entirely separate subject. And so we see here the result of this. Whom we may appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And a saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and then they go on and name the rest of these people. Now down to verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now I want you to pay strict attention to that verse right there. The laying their hands on them. All right, now, we're fixing to see something that hadn't happened before in the New Testament. Verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and of power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now somebody else other than an apostle is working miracles. Something has happened. And what has happened is that the apostles laid hands on them, and they received these miraculous gifts of the Spirit. Now, prove that, preacher. Okay, let's go over to Acts chapter 8. Let's prove it some more. In Acts chapter 8, Philip, now, he was one of the 6 deacons here, and that we just read about in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Now in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. Now the second person in the Bible is working miracles. Nobody else other than the apostles have worked miracles. Now the second person is working miracles, and both of those people were the original deacons that the apostles laid hands on. And I call them deacons. They're not called that in the text, but most learned men think that those were deacons. Seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many of them taken with palsy, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. Now let's talk about that word a minute. I want to warn you about that word. Sorcery is to mix drugs with religion. And I encourage you, even if you're chipping, if those of you that are in here that are chipping with that dope, don't take dope and go to church. That's sorcery. Come to church sober. Those of you that are drunkards, don't drink before you come here either. But the main thing is do not take drugs and participate in religion. That's sorcery. That comes from a Greek word, pharmaka, that we get pharmacy from. But there was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, got everybody hopped up, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least even to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. I want you to notice, it's possible to be mistaken. It's possible to think somebody is the great power of God and they're really a sorcerer. They really bewitch you. They can really lead you off on this primrose path to hell. You need to watch out for stuff like that. And to him they gave regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Now when they believed Philip's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then when they were baptized, they all received this gift of the Spirit, the dory of the Spirit. Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift, the doria of the Holy Spirit. It's the seal we'll study next week of the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13, then Simon himself believed also. Now notice the scripture teaches that Simon really did believe also. And when he was baptized, he was really baptized too. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. Why? Why? Why would they send them Peter and John? Look at verse 15. Who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now they received the Holy Ghost when they were baptized. They all received the Holy Ghost. What they didn't receive is these miracles, the ability to work miracles. Why did Peter and John have to go? They already got a man there, Philip. Why did they need to walk 90 miles down to Samaria, Peter and John? Because Philip can't pass it on. That's the bottom line. The apostles have the authority to lay hands on someone and them receive one of the 9 supernatural gifts of the Spirit. The apostles have the authority to do that. Now those people who have received these supernatural gifts, they don't have the authority to pass it on. They can't pass it on at all. Philip was down there. Why didn't he pass it on to them? Because he wasn't an apostle. He didn't have the ability to pass it on. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Can it get any plainer than that? Can it get any plainer than it's saying that that's how it was done? Well, yeah, in the next verse. The next verse can even get more plain. And when Simon saw, what did Simon see? And when Simon saw, what did he see? That through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. Now, how were these miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit given? They were given by the laying on of the apostles' hands.
KKGM, Fort Worth, Dallas, a Mortenson Broadcasting Station.
Now, there was a purpose for this. We'd like to encourage our radio audience. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home? They'll receive you as an honored guest, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape or psalm book. The purpose of miracles and wonders and signs throughout the Bible was attesting signs. Moses had his staff. Moses could put his hand in his coat and pull it out and it'd be leprous, and put it back in his coat and pull it out and it'd be whole again. Elijah could call down fire from heaven and work signs and wonders. God often granted signs and wonders during the Bible times so that the people would know that the words coming out of the prophet's mouth was from God. And so that's what miracles are. They're called attesting signs. And they attest to the fact that the words coming out of the prophet's mouth are from God and it's not from the devil. And so when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, what does he want? Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Simon is not asking for the miracles of the Spirit. If he'd have kept his mouth shut, he'd have got them. They'd have laid hands on him, and he'd have got one of them miracles. No, he wants to be big shot. He wants to be Pope. He wants this baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wants the ability to lay his hands on people and them receive miracles. And so he gets rebuked severely for that. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Boy, you hear that all the time today, don't you? A lot of people think that the gift of God can be purchased with money. Well, now let's stop and chase another rabbit. This baptism of the Holy Spirit had been promised according to Joel's prophecy, Joel 2:28 and following, that's quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost, that it was God was going to pour His Spirit out on all flesh. What does all flesh mean? Did monkeys get it? Did kangaroos get it? No, it's got to mean all human flesh. So who got it on the day of Pentecost? Just the apostles. And so all flesh didn't get it. And so to fulfill the prophecy, there must needs be a Gentile who's baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we see that happen in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. Peter is sent to the household of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, and he goes there and preaches. The Holy Spirit falls on him, and let's look down to verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which has received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now Peter's got to go back home to all those Jews, all those honky Jews, and explain to them what in the world he's doing baptizing Gentiles. I mean, these are really righteous people. And so he goes back and he explains to them. Now let's pick up in chapter 11, verse 12. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in the house, which stood by and said to him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereof thou and all thy house shall be saved. And I began to speak. The Holy Ghost fell on them as it did on us at the beginning. This is the only example in the Bible that it says that somebody else got what the apostles got in the beginning. Cornelius and his household. So who has been baptized with the Holy Spirit in the Bible? The apostles and the apostles only, plus Cornelius and his household as a representative of Gentiles. Then remembered I the words of the Lord, how that he said that John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us. Notice that. It's just like what we got, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who believed in the Lord Jesus. Who was I that I should withstand God? Okay, now turn over now to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is at Ephesus, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. A disciple is a believer. These people believed. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? I can just see him standing there, boy. He's ready to put his hand on him, man. He's ready to get him. He said, y'all received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the ability to work these miracles, these miraculous gifts yet? Have you received the Holy Ghost when you believe? Since ye believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much heard where there be any Holy Ghost. Now Paul's shocked. He can't believe it. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto him, unto John's baptism. These are people who lived in the Holy Land that knew about John the Baptist, that had gone out into the rest of the world, been gone for many years. They were disciples of John the Baptist. They knew that John the Baptist had said Christ is Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And so they believed that much, but that was all they knew. They knew nothing about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. They said unto John's baptism. And then Paul, then said Paul, John truly baptized with the baptism of penance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now that gave them this dory of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit that's in every Christian. And then when Paul had laid his hands on them, how's the Holy Ghost given? Well, it told us back in Acts chapter 8 through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Why didn't some of the apostles have to come from Jerusalem to Ephesus to lay hands on them to give them the Spirit? Well, Paul's an apostle. He had the ability to do that. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Begin in verse 3. For I gave you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit. Now, Ephesus is a church that's totally in disorder. They've got all kinds of problems going on there. All kinds of confusion. And so one man would get up and talk, and another man would talk while he's talking, and another guy would interrupt. And all kinds of things is going on there. And Paul is trying to get them under control. And he's saying that nobody, when they're talking in the Spirit, the Spirit that's in a person, the Holy Spirit that's in a person, is subject to the person. The person can control themselves, in other words. Therefore, I gave you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there be diversities of gifts, of charismatic gifts, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. We'd like to encourage our radio audience, why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That was then. For unto one by the Spirit, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. A supernatural, spiritual word of wisdom. Something that you haven't studied. To another, the word of knowledge, a supernatural word of knowledge, something that you haven't studied. By the same Spirit, to another, faith, miraculous faith, mountain-moving kind of faith. By the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing. By the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Now let's stop here. Prophecy in New Testament times is different somewhat than Old Testament prophecy. Now, it's true that New Testament prophets predicted the future too, such as Agabus that predicted that Paul would go bound to Rome and so forth. Those that predicted a famine in the land, so they they did predict some in the future. But prophecy was a teaching tool. Prophecy was to speak the Word of God, God's Word. And so it wasn't some kind of mumbo-jumbo thing. It was speaking God's Word, teaching, edification. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says that prophecy is given for exhortation. Well, I need to look at it. I'll find that in just a second. We're going to get to it. All right, we're in chapter 12. To another, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, languages that you have not studied, and all of a sudden God gives you the ability that you speak German. Why would God do that? Well, God wanted to send all these missionaries out to the world, and He didn't have time to train them, and so He gave them the ability to speak in other languages. All He did was reverse what He did at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, where He confounded men's languages. Now He just reverses that and makes one guy that maybe he can speak German. And there are 16 different languages that are mentioned in Acts chapter 2 there. To different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. That would be the ability to hear somebody speak in a foreign language and understand it, even though you've never studied it. And so, verse 11, these all worketh at one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He wills. And so, the purpose of these miracles was because the New Testament hadn't been written. The people in Corinth couldn't go home at night and open their Bible and read what God would have them do. They didn't have this ability that you and I have today called the Bible. And so this was temporary measures. This baptism of the Holy Spirit, these miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, were both temporary measures given until the New Testament could be written. Now look at chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men of angels, everybody then wanted to speak in tongues. They thought it was the coolest thing. It was just the in crowd could speak in tongues. And so all the bees and all the wannabes wanted to speak in tongues. And so Paul says, I got a better way for you here. Though I speak with the tongues of men of angels. Let's look at verse 31 of the 12th chapter. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What more excellent way? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. And whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Here the apostle tells us very plainly, that tongues are going to cease, supernatural knowledge is going to cease, all of these miracles are going to cease. When is it going to cease? Tells you right here in the next verse. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come. Now every one of my charismatic friends tells me, oh, that's talking about the second coming of Christ when Christ comes again. He's perfect. And so it's talking about the second coming of Christ. And so these miracles are going to go on until the second coming of Christ. And then when Christ comes again, then the miracles are going to go away. And that's not so. That's not so at all. Prove it, preacher. Well, that's easy to do. That's really, really easy to do. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect, telos is the Greek word. T-E-L-I-O-S. Write it in your Bible, guys. Telos. It's a neuter gender noun. You would insult Jesus by calling him a neuter gender noun. Nowhere in the Bible is Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit referred to as neuter gender. You know what neuter gender is, don't you? It's neither male and it's not female. It's neuter gender. This podium right here is neuter gender. What else is neuter gender that's perfect? The Scriptures. When that which is perfect shall come, when the Bible is written, when the New Testament is written, when that which is perfect shall come, that which is in part shall be done away. So what the Bible is teaching us is that these gifts are going to be done away with when the New Testament is completed, when the Bible is completed. There's no more need for these. There's no more need for prophecy. There's no more need for tongues because we have the complete revelation of God right here in our Bible. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part should be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even also as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And so the apostle tells us that of all these miracles and all this stuff, what's going to abide? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And you know something? The Bible just told us, and we just read it there, that if I spend all of my life feeding you, and you know the Greek word used there is talking about taking a morsel of food and baby feeding you like a mother bird feeds a little chick. Even though I do that and I don't love you, it's all for nothing. It's all for nothing. Love is the greatest of all. And God demonstrated His love for us when Christ died on the cross for us. The gospel. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. That He was buried and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Bible teaches that that gospel is the way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So that way of salvation that has been provided for you in the gospel is real simple. The Bible teaches that if you believe the gospel, there's just no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. John 1:12 says, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even as many as believe on His name. So if you're here this morning and you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, God is giving you the power to become a child of God. If you'll just add a little faith to it, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The Bible teaches that we need to repent of our sins, for the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The Bible teaches that we need to confess Christ as Lord and be baptized into Christ. Know ye not as many of you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, been baptized into His death. Therefore being buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. If you're here this morning and you want to become a Christian, you can have that opportunity now. You can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved? Won't you come now while we stand and sing?